Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and my weekly conversation with Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch. This is presented by Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, Hair Saloon for Men, Ryan Kelly, and Schnucks. Need groceries? Think local, think Schnucks. Lots to get into, from Yadier Molina. His humanitarian efforts in Puerto Rico wins him the Roberto Clemente Award. We're going to dive into Missouri football this weekend, also the loss of Jonte Porter, what the Blues have to do on a long stretch of home games coming up for them. And we'll also talk a little SLU basketball as well. This is presented by Hair Saloon for Men. I go there for $22. I get a haircut. I take both my boys there. They keep files on my boys to know exactly the haircut that they need and what I want as well. Hair Saloon for Men, $22, haircut, hot towel and a mint, rinse. It's the best place to go. Hair Saloon for Men. And this is also brought to you by Hot Shots. I mentioned that the Blues are in action this weekend, as well as Missouri. They have Blues and Mizzou specials on all their flat screen TVs at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Coming up, we visit with Ben Fredrickson.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Love doing this, a new addition to the website, Ben Fred Fridays. Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and also a contributor to KTRS Radio. And Ben, we like to take a look at the week ahead, really the weekend ahead, and also the week that was. So I'm going to start with the Cardinals and Yadier Molina. Obviously, it's a monumental award for so many players to receive the Clemente Award for their efforts off the field. But it's got to be something even extra special to do it from a native of Puerto Rico, and that's what Yadier Molina hails from. So obviously this is a big, big deal for him.
Yeah, outstanding. And, you know, rarely do you see Yadi gush about anything. But if you've ever seen him gush about anything, it's Roberto Clemente, and specifically, you know, the legacy and kind of how important it is for him to uphold that. And, you know, you learn a lot about people when tough things happen. And we learned a lot about Yadier Molina when he what he did this past off season with coordinating efforts to help in Puerto Rico. And I'm not one to rank people's charitable efforts. You know, anything people can do to help is good. Some people send money. Some people, you know, raise awareness. Yadier Molina did everything. I mean, he coordinated. He raised funds. He put together, you know, donations, and then he took them over there and put boots on the ground and went, you know, door to door and helped people start either putting their lives back together or sometimes just letting them see his face. I mean, for him to show up there with as big of a star as he is, I mean, he was not out there, you know, shaking hands. He was out there helping people get their homes in order in work boots and, you know, cut off shirts sweating. And he was there for a while. It's really impressive. He didn't do it for the attention. He didn't really even tell anybody he was doing it. It was kind of hard to even find out what was going on, but certainly impressive and well-deserved for him. And nice to see the fans, you know, recognize it. Nice to see the folks who had a say in the award recognize it. And, you know, a really special moment for him in general, but also considering the tie and the award and who it's named after. I got to think one of the highlights of his career when he'll step back and look at, you know, all that he's accomplished in his years in baseball.
Yeah, totally agree. Now let's talk about what's happening on the field, the World Series. I knew Boston had a deep lineup, and now watching it two nights in a row, I realized just how deep it is. And the fact is, it reminded me of the Cardinals, Ben. I don't know if you agree with this, but when the Cardinals went 22-6 in August, the ball was in play. There was a premium on the idea of action and activity and the ball in play, stolen bases, movement. And that's what I see from the Boston Red Sox. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's kind of refreshing because we live in this era now of launch angle and strikeouts are okay. But the Red Sox are kind of flipping that. Now they've got the talent, so, you know, that's number one far and away. They've got really good hitters all throughout their lineup. But especially the middle of their order, they don't strike out. They put the ball somewhere, and you're going to have to make plays to get them out. And that, I think, what is part of what makes them so tough is just really hard. They're really hard to get out. You hear Smoltz talk about that. It's like, you know, when a lineup is tough to get out, it wears on a pitcher. It wears on even relievers. I think you see that with the Red Sox, and it's nice in this era of as long as you hit for power, the strikeouts, you know, you shrug and bear it. I think the Red Sox are kind of turning that on their head a little bit. I also just love how they're just pedal to the metal, man. I mean, I picked the Dodgers to win the World Series before the season started, but I said going into this series, like, for whatever reason, the Dodgers just have to get backed into a corner to play their best. And if they do that against the Red Sox, which look at what they've done, it'll be too late. Because the Red Sox have been wire-to-wire leaders this whole season. That's so hard to do. They're not going to let off the gas now.
Alex Cora, he seems to be pulling the right strings, too. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's like a guy on the craps table. You just bet on him. I mean, he can't miss. I mean, the pinch hits, the pitching moves, everything just seems to be working in his favor. But I think, you know this, man, like, it helps when you have a good team. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of bad options right now. So that, you know, good players make managers look a lot better. But he does seem to have the full confidence of his team, and every move that he makes, they're convinced is going to be the one that wins the game for him. You can see that in how he's managing.
It was interesting in our visit with Mike Kelly on our Mizzou report. The line for Missouri this weekend, at least initially, was 6.5. I've seen it up at 7 that they're favored. I find that really surprising against a good Kentucky team this weekend that's in the top 25.
Yeah, this one stumped me a little bit. Vegas sometimes knows something we don't, but here's what I see in this game. I see a game that really would be a way for Mizzou to say, okay, this season's going to end on a high note, because Kentucky's ranked 12th in the country. Barry Odom's never beat a ranked team. Kentucky has a very good senior-laden defense. That's been the kind of defense this offense has struggled against. Kentucky also has one of the best running backs in the country in Benny Snell Jr., who's outstanding, and he'll wear a defense down over the course of a game. So that's something, another thing working in their favor. And then you have the history. I mean, Missouri, no one talks about this. Missouri has not beaten Kentucky since 2014. So I know Mizzou fans think that Kentucky's this pushover basketball school, but look at the recent history. You haven't beaten them since 2014. They're as good now as they ever have been during that time. I guess it wouldn't be an upset because Missouri's favored by Vegas, but this would be a very big win for the Tigers on Saturday.
I think it's a huge potential win for Barry Odom. I think he's got to get this game the way that the schedule sets up to get to those 7 wins and get to a bowl game.
Well, if you get this one, then you might be able to get to 8, because I see wins against, right now, I see wins against Tennessee and Arkansas and Vanderbilt. And if this is the one that, to me, that gets you to 8, I don't know that you're going to beat Florida. Florida has only lost to Kentucky, and that was early in the season. Florida's gotten better and better and better under Dan Mullen, which I knew they would. I mean, if you're going to beat a Dan Mullen team, you got to beat him early at his first stop at a new school. He's got the talent. He's a great coach. They're going to, you know, I think Florida has a chance to maybe upset Georgia this weekend. So I don't see a win there. This is the one that you get, and then if you're going to get to 8 and then say, look, this was a step forward this season.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here. Big things are happening at Schnucks, especially in October. This month, you'll start to see Schnucks stores popping up all over the city. Living in St. Louis, you know Schnucks is committed to the communities they serve. Now, there will be 19 new Schnucks stores in neighborhoods all around town. You'll also notice that prices are falling and your points will be piling up with the Schnucks Rewards app. So check out a new store near you. Come say hello. Visit Schnucks.com for the full list of new stores. See you at Schnucks. On the really sad side of sports, there's injuries, and you hate to see them no matter where you're at, professional, high school, college, little league, it doesn't matter. Injuries are a part of the game, but you hate to see them. Jonte Porter goes down. We get late word on Sunday and Monday officially that he's done for the year. This is a huge loss for Mizzou. How do you sum it up from the program's perspective, and then how do you look at it from the Porter family perspective as well?
Sure. Well, let's start with the family, because they're the ones who are going through this. Jonte specifically, and it's just such a bummer for him, because he could have gone into he could have been drafted last year. He took his name out and said, I want to come back. I want to be stronger. I want to be dominant. I want to be a guy who's, you know, I think he legitimately had a chance to be drafted higher than Michael if the cards fell right for him this year. He looked great in preseason. He looked great at the tip-off event on Saturday. He looked great in the scrimmage before he was injured. Folks I know who watched it said that he was dominating against Southern Illinois, which is a good basketball team this year. So he had his explosiveness back. He'd actually talked about how his knees felt better, and it's just especially cruel to have that happen so soon after he was really feeling feeling good. And it is devastating for the family. I mean, when you look at some of the family history there, you know, their dad is you know, he has knee issues. You can tell by the way that he walks on the sideline as he coaches. His sisters have had knee problems, shortened their careers. Obviously, Michael's back, and it's just frustrating for them, I'm sure, that they can be so good at this game, and yet their bodies seem to betray them at the worst time. For the team, it's certainly a setback. You know, Jonte was going to be the key to a lot of what Missouri did on the court this year. And people saw what he scored last year, you know, 9.9 points per game, and they say, okay, it's 10 points. Can it be that big of a deal? But what they know, what they probably underestimate are everything else, his shot blocking, his passing, his ability to handle the ball as a 6'11" forward. He was going to be kind of their funnel for the offense, and now he's gone. So everybody's going to have to do a little bit more. Immediately, this puts more pressure on Jeremiah Tillman. He's got to be able to stay on the court. He's probably their biggest asset as a big right now. Kevin Puryear is going to have to score more. And then to me, the biggest question about this team is going to be the guards. They have to get some sort of scoring on the wing, whether it's one of the newcomers, whether they get one of these transfer guards eligible in Mark Smith or Drew Smith. I think they'll have a chance to get a waiver for one of these guys to play immediately, if not two. That would help a bunch, but there's just a lot more unknown now with Jonte out of the picture.
I'm curious your thoughts on SLU. We haven't really talked about the Billikens, but Travis Ford, now in his third year, has recruited exceptionally well. He's tried to keep kids in the city and stay at home. They're predicted, at least in the A-10 first, you know, rankings of the media, to win the league. That's quite a turnaround from 3 years ago when this program was really at the very, very bottom. I mean, he's done a hell of a job. I mean, getting to this point to be number one in the A-10, at least preseason.
Yeah, I think they should be very good this year. And the A-10 is ripe for SLU to emerge as the leader. I think you know, the media who covers the A-10 isn't the only group picking the Billikens to win this. I know Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook also picked them. I think for good reason. They've got an experienced core at different positions, you know, from Javon Best, who I love watching play basketball. I mean, he's a great college player who really kind of sets the tone for them defensively and in terms of the toughness category. You have French, who can block everything and you know, be your muscle. And you have Goodwin, who is coming back with the experience of that freshman season. Then you start to filter in some newcomers. You know, Cartier Gordon is, by all accounts, ready for college basketball. He's going to play a lot, especially now that Luis Santos has been kicked off the team. That opens more opportunity for Cardi, and he's strong and physical, and by all accounts, he's ready to roll. I think that's going to be fun to watch. And a big key here is how Tremaine Isabel transfers and plays into this team. I think if all things go according to plan, he's going to be spending a lot of time at point guard, and that allows Jordan Goodwin to play off the ball a little bit and should help facilitate his scoring. But Isabel, if he can be the conductor of the offense, if he can be the straw that stirs the drink, then this team should be pretty dangerous. It's as big and physical and strong as a SLU team as I think we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, I thought they were physical even last year, and now they've added the new pieces, so that makes it a lot of fun. Ben, the Blues, we have seen a disturbing trend with this team, the fact that they give up leads late. This is a huge stretch. We saw them play last night at home, but this is a huge stretch of hockey at home, and I think it's big for Mike Yeo. I mean, they've got to win some of these games and get back on track.
You bet. And, you know, they unfortunately kind of stubbed their toe to start the season with the home games and had the crowd ready to roll and let them down a little bit. Well, now they're back. You know, they've got these seven consecutive home games, and it's a chance to reset a little bit. I don't know that anyone's panicking, but every game that kind of fits into this slumping trend in the beginning is putting more pressure on Mike Yeo. He has gone back and forth. At first, he was kind of sounding the alarms, and now he's trying to ask for patience and everyone to calm down a little bit. But really what he needs is his team to play, you know, a unified effort across the board. Fans are going to pick on a couple guys, Jay Bomeister here, Jake Allen there. But really it's been a consistent team issue. In some ways, it's even more frustrating because you've seen some signs of optimism. The special teams are better. The power play is scoring. The face-off percentage is way up, which was a problem last year. Yet, you know, the third period has become, for the most part, a danger zone. They're giving up too many leads. They've given up more third period goals than any other team in hockey, and that's just not how you win. So they need to flip the switch. It was going to take some time for everybody to settle in, but that excuse now is starting to wear a little bit thin. This team needs to find its stride. As the hockey guys always like to say, you can't play yourself into the postseason in this month, but you can certainly do a lot of damage when it comes to playing yourself out. So the Blues need to avoid doing that.
You know, you're kind of a sneaky cat. You know, you always got little things on your mind that you might be working on. So give me a little sneak preview of maybe something in the paper I should be watching out for.
Well, this isn't a curveball by chance, but on Saturday, my colleague Benjamin Hockman's going to be at Mizzou, Kentucky. So I'm going to go watch SLU Hoops, and I'm really excited to see what the Billikens do on the court. Now, it's an exhibition game against Quincy. They'll win, and it won't be close. But I am excited to see what this team looks like on the floor, because you can start to get a little bit of taste of kind of how this is going to work and what it's going to look like, and guys who might surprise you. So that's what I'll be doing this weekend. Another thing that is worth mentioning here, Dan, is a name that is familiar to Mizzou fans and should be familiar to everybody from our area. Is Jaden Cox just won his first gold medal at the World Championships in wrestling. This guy is now a three-time NCAA champion. He was a multi-bronze medalist at the Olympics, and now he's added his first gold medal, and he's only 23 years old. He's one of the most incredible athletes ever to come out of Mizzou. And I know it's not a marquee sport, but he's a pretty impressive young man who's going to continue to do some pretty great things in his career.
May not be a marquee sport. I'm not sure there's a tougher sport. Guys that wrestle are animals. I mean, and I mean that in a very term of endearment. I mean, they are awesome, awesome athletes.
He's a special cat, and he's also well-rounded. I mean, he can sing, he can play instruments. He's a speak different languages. He's a unique guy who is very gifted and a pretty cool ambassador for Mizzou and our area in general.
That's fun. Hey Ben, thanks so much. We'll catch up again next Friday.
You bet, Dan. Talk soon.